Hello, and welcome. A female therapist fucks her client. Then she turns to a client afterwards and says, "That was good for you, but more importantly, how was it for me?" Now, I once had a female therapist hand me a copy of the Kama Sutra. That was during a session. It was for no apparent reason I could discern at the time, I'll tell you that. Seemed rather out of context, to be honest. I mean, I know I didn't ask for it, but then again, no man does. No man asks for this, just this constant bombardment of sexual imagery that gets thrown at us just 24/7. Why is pornography free? That's a good question. Now, the dopamine high from viewing pornography, it lasts longer than any other drug. But you would be hard-pressed to find, you know, next to any health professionals who would classify it as addictive. There'd be few and far between. Now, I recall I watched my first porno at 9 years old. It was on a VHS tape. I can't remember much about it other than how crap it was, but like any young man, I became curious about how things worked. And as I got older, I wanted to know how other cultures viewed sex. And the one universal thing I found was how closed off people were on the subject of sex. It was just never discussed. It just wasn't discussed openly between men or between men and women. And also, growing up, just looking at women, just how they referred to sex in just fairy tale terms, Mills and Boone terms. I used to look at girls growing up and think they had nothing between their ears except unicorns and rainbows. That may still be applicable for many today. When I had sex growing up, it was just a bodily function. It was like going to the bathroom, and it sounds crude, but that's all it was. You got it out of your system. There was no connection or intimacy beyond that. No, I didn't know any different. And no one talked about it, so I just thought that was standard. Any talk about intimacy and connection, I thought that was just women just trying to soften the language. I remember once, I asked this older guy once, I said, "Why do women talk like that? Why don't they just say it straight out? You just fucking say it. Say it that they like it, like it hard and rough, or whatever. Why don't they just talk bluntly about it?" He said back to me, he said, "Well then, they wouldn't be able to put it all back on you then, could they?" He said, "Wise man, it's wise words." But if you look at today, sex, it's becoming increasingly a virtual online experience for men. It's virtual, especially for young men. You look at the growth of OnlyFans, of online pornography and so on. This can't be ignored. It's a growing market. And there's other guys that would know the statistics better than I do, but even I can see it's a growing issue. So even though it's increasingly made sex or sexual content more accessible, it's driven sex even more underground. With young men now just increasingly cut off from real-life sexual interaction. I'm just stating a fact here. Regardless of the risks involved with sexual interaction, with women and so on, this is happening. It's happening, and it's something that needs to be addressed. And an open dialogue needs to take place. Young men, they have to deal with raging hormones and libidos, so we can't just expect them to switch it off like a tap. A young man gets that coochie in his face and... I'm sorry, but the little head takes over from there, It's kind of an unfair expectation to place that on a young man. But that's what we all do. Everyone does it, men and women. We just throw this just generic advice or memes at young men without actually listening to their experience or taking into account their life history or their perspectives. It's dehumanizing. It's just no, just follow this approach. It's the be-all and end-all solution that fits all men. It's all-encompassing. It's kind of like walking into a courtroom and the judge is just telling you, no, son, no, you're pleading guilty and you don't get a say. But words, I mean, words always come before action. If you can't articulate or put into words what you want and why you want it, then why are you doing it? Well, because someone told you to? Yeah, that's not a reason. It's just an excuse not to look in the mirror. But with sex, I mean, even the term male sexuality, it carries a stigma. The immediate connotation someone is going to have is perversion and predation. Yeah, it takes a lot for a young man to open up in the first instance, but when you factor in the shame from viewing pornography, the shame from the lack of sexual relationships, or the lack of real-life sexual encounters with women and so on, and then you couple that with the constant media bombardment of just sexualized imagery, and then all the bullshit man-up shaming propaganda and all the expectations, there's going to be a lot to unpack there. I watched a movie recently called Shame. And you're watching some scenes from the movie now. I mean, I really liked it. I mean, yeah, it was stereotypical in some ways. I thought they piled on the shaming a bit much, and just in regards to male sexuality, but I thought a lot of it rang true. Now, it's essentially about a professional guy in New York. He's a sex addict. His relationships are a mess. He's addicted to sex and to pornography. And if he can't get off with women, he'll either get off with porn or just get off with other men as well. So it's fairly seedy. But his sister shows up, and you can see that they're both survivors of sexual abuse, possibly incest, as kids. And she's as fucked up as he is, just in different ways. But I thought it was a pretty good depiction of the modern male's experience, sexually. Yeah, just in terms of this constant drive, or just this trajectory, you know, this just bouncing around from sexual experience to sexual experience. Yeah, whether in real life or online. And just getting off with women you can't even stand, let alone respect. And the film did a really great job of portraying the sexual interactions as really clinical. It showed just how isolated and detached he was to the woman and to the experience itself. I have plenty of gay friends, and some of them who are just the built like brick shithouses who you wouldn't want to fuck with on a good day, but I mean, even they agree. You know, heterosexuals today, that the way that they're engaging or sexually interacting with each other it's like a lot of gay men today. You know, it's all casual hookups, it's just one after another. Many women, you see them, they want commitment. But the men don't, and that's for obvious reasons. I mean, what are you committing to? What, the town bike? You know, everyone's had a ride. And likewise, you know, on the other side of the coin, there are many other women who I know who are the opposite. They've been in long-term relationships or long-term marriages, and they've come out and they've become jaded. You know, they're just sitting on the shelf, just waiting it out. And you talk with these women, and you pick their brains, and you see that they've demonized male sexuality in their minds. The way they describe it, it's as if all men are predators, and they're Snow White. But as one old man said to a woman I once knew, we all shit out of the same hole, sweetheart, get over yourself. But men and women today, they don't communicate with each other anymore. They relate through filters of their own making. And me, I have a natural curiosity. I have a natural curiosity about women. But I just see that many men today, that they're just not interested in hearing it. I can't blame them. Yeah, I've seen it. The moment a woman starts talking about dating or relationships in a group or in a social situation, some men just get up and just leave the conversation. Because either it's not applicable to them, or they just don't give enough of a shit to hear it. And some of these men, some don't have any options, you know, dating-wise. They're not getting any matches from apps or through social networks, whatever. But, you know, there's other men that do have options. But these guys just can't be bothered going through the motions of dating. Just jumping through hoops. And in their own words, they can't be bothered dealing with neurotic, self-entitled women. Can't blame them. Because many men today, they just don't care. They're focused on doing their own thing. And these are young men and older blokes. It's a mixture. I talk with guys about it, and yeah, there's an increasing frankness and honesty about the dating scene, or the lack thereof, but because it's kind of obvious now. You can't avoid it. And yeah, some guys are hooking up with women from apps and through friends, while other guys are just completely off social media and apps altogether, and just opting out of the dating game. They've just had enough. They're just doing their own thing. But these men, the only time that they really light up is when you talk about their interests. It could be anything. It could be cars. It could be music, business, gaming, whatever. But the dating or relationship side of thing, it's just a headache for a lot of them. They just find it's just a frustrating dance where they don't know the steps. And the steps just keep changing. But what I'm seeing, and this goes for all ages, whether it's men and women in their 20s, or 30s, 40s, so on, it's kind of like being at a school dance. You have the girls on one side and the boys on the other, and no one wants to make the first move. And most can't be bothered to. And some want to dance, but they're not prepared to compromise. And others just aren't being selected. So it's kind of a cross between a Mexican standoff and complete apathy and indifference. I mean, that's about as accurate a description of the modern relations between men and women as I can give. It's like trying to get pandas to fuck at this point, or at least get them to commit to anything past just a casual interaction. But you see in this movie Shame, I mean, what really surprised me was just how they depicted the main character's behavior. It wasn't portrayed as predatory, which is pretty unique in cinema. They usually portray him as just a predator. But rather, I thought it showed him as being driven by an impulse. But you see, when he does try and connect with other people, there is a genuine humanity to the character. So I thought those warm interactions, they contrasted quite well with the more clinical sex scenes. And dialogue's pretty minimal, so most of the expression is conveyed through body language and through facial expressions. And yeah, he's a character who's a slave to his compulsions. And it all starts with trauma. And today, it's accepted. If a young girl looks at an emaciated model on the cover of Vogue, then she's considered traumatized. But on the other hand, a young boy can be introduced to pornography and abuse at a young age, and apparently he can just brush it off. I mean, it couldn't possibly manifest in any dysfunction. No. Everything's all sweet, mate. If he just acts out, he's just an evil, toxic male, apparently. I remember as a young boy, I was on a school trip, and I think it was an art gallery or a museum or something, and I remember I saw paintings or ceramics with the images of Greek satyrs. And this is one image I'll never forget. It was of a satyr trying to ejaculate on bees in a field. And there are other images, satyrs just shoving things up their backsides and getting off to all kinds of weird shit. But I remember thinking these guys were just as filthy as the Picasso paintings I saw upstairs. I thought maybe it was a European thing. Dirty Greeks and Italians always up to no good, eh? But I recall becoming just fascinated with Greek and Roman culture, and then, Greek and Roman history as a result. By essentially first viewing ancient pornography, I guess, but there you go. But from what I read, when it came to masturbation, Greeks didn't seem to talk about it very much, didn't talk about wanking very much. It just I mean, it seemed to be a pretty common practice. But they did talk about semen retention, and how it was a waste of a man's seed, a waste of his energy. You look at Diogenes. He was one of the founders of the school of cynicism, and he used to whack off all the time in public. He used to go around saying, if only one could banish hunger the same way by just rubbing the belly. Apparently they used to tell him off, but there was nothing further. It wasn't seen as a serious offence. You look at Egyptian pharaohs, and they used to jerk off into the Nile as a ceremonial practice. So they seemed more open about sexuality and more open about knocking one out than we do today. I mean, I personally don't approve of public masturbation, just for the record, but it's just the ancient Romans and the Greeks were more open-minded and accepting when it came to sex than we are today. In their eyes, it wasn't something to be ashamed of. It wasn't something that was hidden behind closed doors. It was something that was celebrated and recognized as vital to the human experience. And if you read about some of their practices, some of it's really out there. You read about the Etruscans, and especially Etruscan women. I mean, they were fucking loose. Or in Rome, I mean, there were different fertility rituals, different festivals, which a lot of drinking and a lot of orgies. You look at the spring equinox. You look at the rituals dedicated to Dionysus. Now, everybody was shit-faced and off their heads, so inhibitions were lowered. And Romans, they had similar festivals and carnivals. If you take a stroll through, the Secret Museum in Naples, you see all the sordid frescoes in the Secret Museum. You see it all on display. I remember walking through there and I thought, yeah, this is exactly what it's like going to an Italian funeral. So I remember, I'll never forget it, I went to one and you see the woman just screaming, wailing, you know, dragging themselves on the floor to the coffin. And that always seemed to me just a far healthier way just to express grief, you know, rather than being all stoic and just holding it in. Now, I've been at funerals where I've been absolutely fucking furious at the bloke in the casket. You know? Like, how dare you take your own life? I've been angry at the people present. How dare you treat them this way? But of course, you just hold it in. You find a way to process it. You can end up writing the deceased a letter, you know, putting words to your feelings, whatever, just so you can forgive and move on. But today, it just seems that sex is all around us. Yet we're more ashamed of it now, more than ever. To the point that even having a discussion about sex, even in a relational or social context with others, is now off limits. It leads to a lot of dysfunction. It's becoming more secretive, more shameful. And some young guys, I mean, they've opened up to me about it, but we never hear that side of it, you know, the damage that's done to them. There's just a wall of silence when it comes to male sexuality. It's just taboo. But this dysfunction, it extends to women too, you may have noticed. And what they want, what they engage in terms of their sexual behaviour, it's not love, it's not affection, it's not intimacy. Now, at the end of the day, it's just like accumulating scar tissue. Yeah, and there's that joke. There's a guy on a riverbank, of a raging river, you know, there's a torrent. And he's jumping up and down. And he suddenly sees his Zen master on the other side of the river, and he yells out to him. He goes, "Master, master, how do I get to the other side?" And Zen master looks at him and smiles and says, "You are on the other side." The truth was there, right in front of him. He just didn't see it. But there's so much noise in the world today. We never take the time to look inside. And yeah, there's plenty going on in the world today. There's no doubt about that. But what about you? What's going on with you? When do you get a say? Now, everyone is so ready to speak for men, but never prepared to listen to men. Now, it could be any topic. It could be any topic that affects men. It could be sex. It could be any number of things, any number of topics. I just picked this one at random because was a human talked about it the other day in a video. And the thought occurred to me, it's when is sex ever talked about in relation to men? It's usually just a panel of women just babbling on and talking about it on TV on a panel. But this topic, it's just one of many, many number of issues inherent to the male experience that need to be spoken about. Because men today, they've been reduced not only to automations, utilities, but essentially pay pigs to women and to the system. You know, as men, why do we censor ourselves so much? And why do we feel the need to censor other men? Why do we devalue ourselves to such an extent? And we all know the answers to all of those questions. We do. And yeah, it's going to be unique to the individual, and in many other ways, it's going to be similar to other men. It's just sometimes I feel like I'm in the mafia. You know, I have to speak code or just shorthand instead of communicating openly with other men. It's like that quote, I speak my mind because it hurts to bite my tongue. But the only voice a man needs to listen to is his own.